Greetings to all you saints of the Most High, El Elyon. This is part 4 of Believe. This study is covering all the verses that show what believe means and how it is used in Scripture. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Believe is found in the Word Studies menu. The word faith, when it is used in Scripture, should actually be understood as either trustworthiness or belief. The word study on trust contains all the verses in which faith should have been translated as trust. This study on believe contains all the verses in which faith should be translated as belief, assurance, confidence, and, as we have been seeing in the New Testament, the belief. The word faith was not even used until the 1200s AD. Faith was not a statement about belief, but about behavior. That is why the word faith, being a noun only, really means allegiance or loyalty. That's where the Marines get Semper Fi. It's Latin. It does sound odd when you hear the belief rather than the faith, but the belief is more accurate, as faith is not a belief. It is a behavior, a display of loyalty. You can say that the word is the belief, that our heritage is the belief, that truth itself is the belief, our constant obedience is the belief, our daily walk in the way is the belief, our confidence and trust in the promises and covenants is the belief. The belief is the foundation of what is expected when we have loyalty and allegiance. The gospel, or good news, is the belief. The belief is our faith, which is our allegiance to Yeshua. The belief is the allegiance and loyalty to our heritage, our kinsmen, the commandments, and our duty as children of the Most High. We finished the Gospel of John in part 3, and here in part 4, we will continue in the book of Acts. Acts 2, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked race." The context of this sermon of Peter is talking about the corrupt religious sects who agitated the people to join in with them and crucify Christ. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his words were immersed in the truth, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all, as every man had need. The reference is Isaiah 58:7. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you may bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh, or your own race, or your own kinsmen? After Peter healed a lame man, the people marveled, and he said, Acts 3:13, "The Elohim of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified his son Yeshua, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Elohim has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith, or the belief, in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith, or the belief, which is by him that has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The book of Acts also reveals what the faith is. The Greek word is still pistis, G4102, and the definite article the is used. This identifies that it is the belief. With careful examination, we can see that this verse is saying his name through the belief in his name healed this man, and the belief which comes through him or by him has made him whole. In other words, just believing on a Jewish Jesus is not the belief. It's only lip service and a bad case of mistaken identity, a ticket on the rapture flight to the lake of fire. Note also that Peter is addressing his fellow Israelites, not the church. Acts 4, verse 1. And as the disciples spake unto the people, the Jew priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yeshua the resurrection from the dead. Why did the religious sects grieve about the apostles teaching the truth? Because they were of the serpent seed. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. They sure were hurting the business of the Jew priests and the Sadducees. The apostles, being released, left the company of the Edomite priestly rulers and went to their own company, Israelites. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of Elohim with frankness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the prince, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Acts 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of Elohim, and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, or conviction, or even truth itself, and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of Elohim increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, or to the belief. And Stephen, full of faith, or conviction, and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. When a eunuch was in his chariot reading Isaiah from the Septuagint, which Christ and the apostles quoted from, the Spirit told Philip to join him. Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him about Yeshua. Verse 37 is not in any manuscript before the 6th century AD. This verse is an addition to support the church doctrine of just believe. Acts 8:37. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The churches love these kind of passages because it falsely teaches that all you have to do is just believe and accept Him in your heart. This is so evil because not only is it a lie, it has them trust in these false teachings and they take their preacher's word for it. Their own declaration of being personally saved, and it makes them lazy about proving what Scripture teaches. Just look at how many people believe with all their heart. They don't know anything about Scripture, who they are, who Yeshua is, why He had to die, who He came for, and they don't live a true Christian life. They eat pork, they support the devil's children, they don't follow the law or keep the feasts and the Shabbats, and they worship a Jewish Jesus that doesn't even exist. Acts 9:26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. Because Saul was a Pharisee, and persecuted the Israelites before Yeshua dealt with him on the way to Damascus. Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the prince. Acts chapter 10 is Peter's vision on a rooftop at noon and his visit to Cornelius. The churches use this chapter to teach that the food laws were done away with, and that Jesus made pork and other unclean animals edible. Here, the animals in Peter's vision do not represent foods, but rather they represent people, and that what Yahweh had cleansed were uncircumcised Israelites, Israelites that lived outside Judea and had become pagan and forgot who they were and whose they were. Even Peter did not understand the vision, but the Spirit taught him. Acts 10:33. Immediately therefore I, Cornelius, sent to you, and you has well done that you are come. Now therefore are we all here present before Elohim, to hear all the things that are commanded you of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons," meaning rich, poor, popular, nobody, high office, no office, your stature in life. Verse 35, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The context, of course, of every nation is every Israelite nation, every nation of the 12 tribes. Verse 36, the word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua Christ, he is master of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the immersion which John preached, how Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Judeans and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before Elohim, to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of the penalty of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Kodesh Ruach, or the Holy Spirit, fell on all of them which heard the word. Notice there was no water baptism. They were immersed in the knowledge and understanding of the belief. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision, which is the house of Judah, which believed, or kept his plighted belief, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the dispersed nations of Israel, the uncircumcised, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is because both houses were children of Israel. The house of Judah returned from the Babylonian captivity back to the land of Judea and tried to keep the law and knew their heritage. The house of Israel, which was the 10 northern tribes, did not return after the Assyrian captivity and went on to settle all over the Greco-Roman Empire and eventually into Europe, forgetting their heritage and the law of God. Acts 11:17. Forasmuch then as Elohim gave them, the circumcised house of Judah, the like gift as he did unto us, the uncircumcised dispersed house of Israel, who believed on the Prince Yeshua Christ, what was I that I could withstand Elohim? The Judeans were now starting to understand that both the houses of Judah and of Israel were Israelite kinsmen. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Elohim, saying, then hath Elohim also to the nations, the uncircumcised, granted repentance, or a change of mind, or compunction, unto life. They were starting to see that both houses were kin to each other. These next verses of Romans are the references to the above verses. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Judean, the Israelites of Judea, and the Greek, the Israelites of the dispersion. For the same master over all us is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, meaning all the children of Israel, shall call upon the name of Prince Yeshua shall be preserved. Romans 15:9, and that the Gentiles, which is incorrect and should be the uncircumcised or dispersed Israelite nations, might glorify Elohim for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I, Paul, should be the minister of Yeshua Christ to the Gentiles," no, "to the nations of Israel," the dispersed nations, "ministering the gospel of Elohim, that the offering up of the," not Gentiles, "but the offering up of the nations of Israel that forgot who they were, might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Continuing with Acts 11, verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Judeans only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Prince Yeshua. And the hand of the Prince was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Prince. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the assembly which was in Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the favor of Elohim, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Prince. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit, and of faith," or belief. "And much people was added unto the Prince." The message of redemption to all the nations of Israel was spreading, and they were becoming reacquainted with the Spirit and the law on their heart. The Scriptures prophesy that Israelites bring the word to the world, the Adamic society, and we are seeing proof here. When did the serpent seed Jews ever bring the gospel anywhere? Never. Their father's gospel has been spread all over the world, everything from the food, air, and water, to the Babylonian banking system and multiculturalism, to the porn and entertainment industry, to the medical and pharmakia system, to every corporate and government office, to the very doctrines taught in all the denominations. Acts 13:6. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of Elohim. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith," or from the belief. The name Saul means to straddle. Paul certainly bridged Hebrewism and the Greco-Roman world. Verse 9. "Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Prince? And now, behold, the hand of the Prince is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Prince. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Shabbat day, and sat down. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, you that fear Elohim, give audience. You will notice that Paul and the apostles always addressed their kinsmen, their brethren, the stock of Abraham. They never addressed the church or anyone else, because the scriptures are our history, our heritage, our laws, and Yahweh is our God, and Yeshua is our kinsman redeemer. Paul goes on to give a brief account of our history in Egypt and the days of King David. Verse 26, Men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth Elohim, to you is the word of this deliverance sent. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the forefathers, Elohim has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Yeshua again, as it is also written in the second psalm, You are my son, this day I have begotten you. Be it known unto you, therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. Even though we are to follow the law cannot justify us. If it did, then what do we need Christ for? The sacrificial rituals were done away with, but we are still to obey all the other commandments, statutes, and judgments. One can follow the law, but not believe, and one can believe, but not follow the law. But one that follows the law and believes has honor and love towards Yahweh. They have the belief, and will be rewarded for it. Can we be perfect in our obedience and belief? No, but it's the effort he is looking for. Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you, referring to the house of Judah. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the dispersed nations of Israel, the lost sheep. It was necessary for Paul to bring the word to the true Israelite Judeans first, because they were the tribes that returned to Jerusalem to preserve the law and bring in the Messiah. Verse 47, For so hath the prince commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the dispersed nations, the lost sheep, that you should be for preservation unto the ends of the earth, meaning wherever Israelites are. Isaiah 42:6, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the lost sheep or dispersed of Israel. Isaiah 49:6, And he said, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that you may be my preservation unto the end of the earth. And Luke 2:32, a light to lighten the lost sheep of the dispersed nations of Israel, and the glory of your people Israel. Not the church, not anybody, not the Jews, but Israel. True Caucasian Anglo-Saxon Israelites. Verse 48, And when the nations heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the prince, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they, Paul and Barnabas, went both together into the assembly hall of the Judeans, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Judeans and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving, or the willfully disobedient, Judeans stirred up the nations of the dispersed Israelite tribes, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And when there was an assault made both of the nations of the northern house of Israel, and also of the Judeans, the southern house of Judah, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and to Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. So the Edomite Pharisees and Sadducees agitated the unbelievers of both houses of Israel against the true followers. That is what Jews do. They agitate. They create a problem, then they present their solution. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. Most of the tragic events throughout history are agitated and planned out by the Jews. False shootings, wars, medical pandemics, 9/11, the Holocaust, everything on TV and the media, entertainment, all of it is propaganda and part of an agenda to enslave us and pull us away from the belief. Verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith, or belief, to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. If the cripple did not have the right belief, he would not have been healed. It matters who and what we believe. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, or to continue in the belief, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the reign of the heavens. And when they had elected them elders in every assembly, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Master, on whom they believed. Verse 27. And when they were come, and had gathered the assembly together, they rehearsed all that Elohim had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith, or belief, unto the dispersed nations of Israel. Acts 15:4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the assembly, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that Elohim has done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. These are those Israelite members of the sects that did not understand, or were fooled by the Edomite members. Verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men, brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us, that the dispersed nations of the house of Israel, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel, and believe. And Elohim, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, or the belief. Now therefore, why tempt you Elohim to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to hear? But we believe, or trust, that through the favor of the Prince Yeshua Christ, we shall be preserved, even as the fathers. When the gospel is received by our people, they must take a hold of it, learn it, and live it, not just believe it. Those believers that religiously go to church and worship a fictitious Jew called Jesus will be counted among the goats, because their whole belief system is based on Jewish lies. A heart cannot be purified with the Judeo-faith or any other faith, even if they are ignorantly believing a lie. It has to be the faith, the belief. Acts 16:1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Judaitess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. A Judean mother and a Greek father were Timothy's parents. In other words, a parent from both houses of Israel. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the assemblies established in the faith, or the belief, and increased in number daily. When the Jews again threw them in prison for teaching the belief, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to Elohim, and the prisoners heard them. There was a divine earthquake, and the prison doors were opened. When the warden awoke and saw the doors open, and supposed that the prisoners fled, he was about to kill himself. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Prince Yeshua Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house." And they spake unto him the word of the prince, and to all that were in his house. So they didn't just believe. They educated them in the word and what was expected of followers. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in Elohim with all his house. To the unlearned and to the deceived churchgoers, these verses seem to tell them to just believe. But what are they believing, and what are they doing or not doing as a result of that belief? Acts 17:1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was an assembly hall of the Judeans. And as Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Shabbat days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Yeshua, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah. And some of them believed, or were moved to act, and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Judeans, which believed not, or willfully did not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, whose coming there went into the synagogue of the Judeans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few, meaning many believed. In Athens, Paul argues in the assembly hall with the Judeans and the worshippers, and in the marketplace in the city's well-known Areopagus, or Ares Hill, which means Hill of Curses. He proclaims Yahweh does not dwell in temples made with hands. He explains about the dispersed nations and that we are our Father's children, to repent and that judgment is coming. Some believers join Paul as he departed. Verse 27. That they should seek the prince, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. The churches teach that anyone can become God's offspring, or even spiritual Israel. The scriptures teach that offspring are the literal descendants, literal seed, literally his family. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance Elohim overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, or to think differently, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ, whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance, or proof, unto all, in that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear you again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Acts 18:1. After these things, the speech on Ares Hill, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he reasoned in the assembly hall every Shabbat, and persuaded, or won over, the Judeans and the Greeks. What did he win them over to? The synagogues back then were teaching the doctrines of the satanic Jews. Christ never spoke well of the synagogues because they were not teaching his doctrine in them, just like today's churches are not teaching his doctrine in them either. They were teaching a belief, but not the belief. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the prince with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and they were immersed in the word. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through favor, for he mightily convinced the Judeans, and that publicly showing them by the scriptures that Yeshua was Christ. Just like today, back then they were also worshiping the Jews and believing in their perverted Judaism. Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit, since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you immersed? And they said, Unto John's immersion. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Yeshua. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading, or exhorting, the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim. But when some were hardened, and believed not, or willfully believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of Prince Yeshua, both Judeans and Greeks. There were some sheeny vagabond Jews, exorcists, that tried proclaiming Christ to adjure demons and were overcome by them. Verse 17, And this was known to all the Judeans and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of Prince Yeshua was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. But the believers today believe in false doctrine and a Jewish Jesus. They don't confess or repent because the law was done away with, and they don't show their deeds because they're saved already and under grace, and all they have to do is just accept him and just believe only. All the while, they are participating in Antichrist worship in a pagan temple with the cross of Tammuz atop the steeple sun pillar, on the day of the sun god, giving alms to the state of Israel, eating swine's flesh, and continuing to live in ignorance as a heathen in their fake delusional lifestyle, going right along with the rest of the ungodly society that knows not Elohim. Verse 23, And the same time there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded, or won over, and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at nothing, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the inhabited world worships. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Sounds like the Judeo-Christians that get offended when we tell them that Jesus is no Jew. He tells them at Ephesus he is by the Spirit bound to go to Jerusalem to testify the gospel of the favor of Yahweh, that they would not see him again, to always feed the flock which was purchased with the blood, and that the wolves will try to come in, and for them to keep watch and remember the words of the prince, Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Judeans and also to the Greeks, repentance towards Elohim, and faith, or the belief, towards our Prince Yeshua Christ. Acts 21:17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things Elohim has performed among the dispersed nations of the house of Israel by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the prince and said unto him, You see, brother, how many thousands of Judeans there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Where is the zeal of the law in today's believers? Paul before Felix, Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, or a sect, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law of the prophets, and have hope towards Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. We, the remnant, who know, keep, and proclaim the belief, are considered heretics. Verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Judean, he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the faith, or belief, in Christ. Paul, speaking about his conversion with Yeshua on the way to Damascus, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Elohim, that they might receive forgiveness, the remission of the penalty of sins, and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, or the belief that is in me. Verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning does make you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believe you the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost you persuade, or move, me to be a Christian. Agrippa was the Edomite Jew grandson of the Herod that tried to kill Christ as a baby. Herod and his people are descendants of devils and demons. James 2:19, the devils also believe and tremble. When Paul was escorted to Rome, he dwelled with a soldier that kept him. Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the Torah of Moshe and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed, or were persuaded of, the things which were spoken, and some believed not, or had no belief. This is years after Christ died, and Paul is still teaching out of the Torah and the prophets. This is because this is our history and heritage, and the whole Bible is one book about our people, true Anglo-Saxon Israel, and it is the belief of the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, who came from the Father and laid down his life.
its lost sheep wandering in this world, who grope through the darkness, who stumble and fall. Your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name, he's seeking you out night and day. And if you should hear his sweet voice, let him guide you today. Because he is the way.